Hey, friend, and welcome back to another episode of Proof to Product. I am really excited to share today's episode with you because we have a fun guest. It's Brock Johnson. If you're not familiar with Brock, he is an Instagram expert that has coached thousands of entrepreneurs and creators on how to grow on Instagram, and he's been doing it since 2018. In 2021, his personal following blew up thanks to his strategy of using Reels, and he has grown at a rate of approximately 1,000 followers per day since then. He now has over 700,000 followers. He personally consults with Meta and Instagram staff, and he's an international keynote speaker on all things Instagram. During the interview, we discussed the emerging platform of Threads and how he's using it for business. And fun fact, Threads is actually how Brock and I got connected. He shares how to optimize your Instagram profile, how to create share-worthy content, and how to balance content creation with all of the other tasks that you have to do in your business. We also chat about tools that he's using, like Metricool and ManyChat, which you can find links and further information on those tools in our show notes. I wanted to bring Brock on the show because our recent industry survey showed that Instagram is one of the primary marketing channels that many of our product-based business owners are using, and I thought this advice would be super valuable to you. If you're interested in reading the 2024 State of the Product Industry Survey Report, head to proof2product.com/2024survey. Over 925 product brands participated in this survey, and they really shared intimate details about their businesses. We're talking money, team, how much they're working, how they're retaining and attracting new customers. You can read the full report for free by going to proof2product.com/2024survey. Also, today's episode is brought to you by our Email Marketing for Product Makers Guide. If you have struggled with having consistent email marketing strategy because you're not sure what to say, when to send those emails, or how often to email your direct-to-consumer or wholesale customers, we have the perfect tool for you. So head to proof2product.com/email marketing and grab a free email marketing guide that has helped hundreds of product makers plan out an entire year's worth of marketing emails. This guide, plus the optional training that you can purchase if you want, will help you create a strategy that works for your specific business and keeps those orders coming in. Again, that's proof2product.com/email marketing. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Hey, Brock, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So fun, quick story. I like to tell my listeners where I've met certain people, and you and I actually connected on Threads. How are you using Threads these days?
Yeah, I'm loving it. My relationship with Threads was very hot and then very cold. And then now it's very hot again. When it first launched, it was like this crazy wild west for the first 48 hours. And everyone was like having fun, just posting random things. And then I kind of stopped using it for a few months just because it wasn't a priority. And over the last few months recently, I've been using it again as a way to kind of test my ideas, if you will. So if I have an idea for a post or a podcast or whatever, I will post about it on Threads and I will gauge its performance. So if it gets a lot of likes or reshares or responses, I'll use that as kind of an indicator as to, hey, people are into this topic. It's exciting and engaging. So maybe I could turn this into a post on a platform where more people are going to see it, like Instagram. So I'm using Threads for that. But I'm also really just using Threads to like connect with the community and chat with people. I've been doing things on Threads that I do not do anywhere else. Like if someone tags me and they're like, hey, Brock, you know, check out my recent reel. Like I've actually been going in and like replying to people and watching their stuff. So it's been really fun to kind of connect with the community on a much smaller scale and also get to kind of vet my ideas before posting them anywhere else.
Totally. I equate it to like the early days of Twitter. That was where my business got started in 2011, before Instagram was a thing even. And like Twitter was kind of the wild, wild west that
Threads is now, and we could test things and try things and really get to know people. So it's kind of fun for me to see the re-immersion of something that has that same vibe that it had back then. So awesome. Thanks for sharing that with us. Okay. So our listeners are product-based business owners and they use Instagram a lot. We actually just did a survey of over 900 of our audience members, product-based business owners, and Instagram was listed as the number one marketing channel for new customers. So that being said, they're also overwhelmed by Instagram and the constant changes. So I'd love to hear from you. What type of posts or videos or reels or what's working on Instagram right now, specifically for product folks?
Yeah, so that totally makes sense. First and foremost, Instagram is the number one platform when it comes to businesses actually acquiring customers. We don't need to get lost into the weeds of why, but essentially it comes down to the direct messages. And so in terms of actually acquiring these leads or these customers on Instagram, the majority of your listeners probably already have step one checked off, which is just identifying your niche, like really knowing what you're talking about and whom you're talking to. I recently saw a great example of this. There was this account that I found the other day. I think they might have tagged me in Threads, and that's probably how I found them. But they were doing Disney-inspired cocktail mixes. And like, that is like as specific as a niche as you could imagine. Like, it's not just like recipes or drink mixes or cocktail mixes. It was specifically like Disney theme park inspired mixes. And I think they might've even been showing like how to recreate some of the drinks that they have at the different Disney theme parks. But that's just an example of how specific you can get and how niche down you can get. And so really figuring out the specific demographics that your product is going to appeal to, having that ironed out is something that I would imagine a lot of your listeners are at least on their way towards. So that's step one for Instagram. Step two is really optimizing the profile, making sure that the bio is set up to quickly grab attention and also articulate, like, why should someone follow you? Like, are you really just selling a product and there's no real point in following you because all of your posts are just going to be ads for said product? Or is there a reason, something that we can gain from following you? That's step two. And then step three comes to actually creating the content. And if I can give one tip in terms of like the kinds of reels that are working right now, the kinds of reels that I see as performing the best, regardless of industry, are what I call share-worthy or shareable reels. And these are essentially the kinds of reels that people are sending to friends. They're sharing with their loved ones. They're posting on their own Instagram story so that other people can see it. And we can get more into like what actually makes something share-worthy, but creating the share-worthy content and even going into your content creation with the intention of creating something so that it can be spread and passed around is really the ultimate quote-unquote growth hack right now.
Yeah. So tell me, what does make something shareworthy? I assume it's relatability, the ease of like somebody else I know needs to see this. I mean, but tell me, what are you seeing in the trend of this?
Yeah. So there's kind of like five different things that can be shareworthy, and your post can be multiple of the five. Relatable is definitely one of them. And that's what we all think of first and foremost. And relatability is something that people oftentimes will like overthink, like, how do I be relatable? And it really just comes back to being yourself and talking about the things that you're struggling with. So like you and I had a conversation before we started this podcast today about how anything that can happen when you have a family will happen. And like, stuff's always going to go wrong. Anything that can go wrong will. And that's relatable. That's real. And that wasn't me forcing relatability. That was me sharing what's going on in my life. And then you responding or like, yeah, I have four kids. That's not you forcing relatability back to me. That's you just talking about your life. So by kind of thinking about the struggles, the challenges, the headaches, the frustrations, but also the other side of that coin, the joys, the happy moments, those things that you experience on a daily basis, that's relatable. So that's one kind of shareworthy. The other four, one is like inspirational or motivational content. And this might not fit for every niche, but even if there's just like some sort of inspirational reminder or a message, that can oftentimes be very shareworthy. The second, or I guess it would be the third category of post that is shareworthy, is what I like to call a call to arms. And this can kind of be thought of as like the history, the US history example would be like Rosie the Riveter. The more recent example would be like the ALS ice bucket challenge, where people were dumping buckets of ice on their head back in 2012. And there's a million smaller scale, more recent examples than that. But it's essentially this kind of movement of, we're all in this together. We all need to support each other. This is for a good cause. This is doing right. This message, this good news needs to be spread. call to arms. Number four is controversial content. Now, I never recommend that people post about things outside of their niche. So I wouldn't recommend posting your controversial political opinions if your business has nothing to do with politics, or posting your controversial thoughts on this or that. And I also don't believe in posting controversy for the sake of angering people or getting canceled or getting people riled up or offending people. But I do believe that all of us have quote unquote unpopular opinions in our industry or in our niche. And sharing those unpopular opinions, posting about them, can be very share worthy because people are like, oh, yes, finally, I believe this too. I've been thinking this way. I didn't want to say it, or I didn't know how to say it, or I couldn't say it as concisely as you did, or I don't have the audience to feel like I have a platform to say it, but this person, this business that I follow, they said it, they stood up for this, they believe in this. And so then your followers, your viewers are more inclined to share it. And then the fifth and final thing that is probably arguably most shareworthy is capitalizing on what's happening in the world right now. That could be breaking news headlines. That could be trending audios on Instagram. That could be trending memes. Like I remember during last football season, it felt like we couldn't go more than 3 days without a new Taylor Swift meme. So using that sort of those sort of trending moments, pop culture, you know, like awards shows, the halftime show at the Super Bowl, those sorts of things are always filled with pop culture moments, breaking news, headlines, memes also. And using those to relate, again, back to your niche or your industry can be a great way to capitalize on the broader conversation, apply it to your niche, and make it shareworthy.
I love this conversation, and I love all these different ideas because it does evoke conversation. It does evoke relatability and connectivity, which is what we're going for here. Now, a lot of the folks that we work with are very small businesses. So one or two people, maybe a small team. And I know they're struggling with the time commitment that social media can sometimes take. Content creation is an entirely full-time job, as we've seen from, you know, the different roles that have popped up over the years. What do you say to folks who want to do more content creation, specifically reels, but they're struggling with the time commitment around it?
Yeah. I think for most people, the issue is less so that they have less available time on their calendar and more so that they are demanding too much out of themselves and or they are overthinking their content. So to speak on the first point, I believe that there is a rampant plague of perfectionism that's running around, that your content has to be as good as so-and-so. It has to compare to this quote-unquote competitor. It has to be better and better and better lighting and better camera and better editing, when study after study shows that that content performs worse. And the more time you spend editing and perfecting, the worse it's going to do. And on the flip side, the content that's like raw and whipped up and in the moment is the stuff that ends up doing the best. So that's one thing to keep in mind. But also just this kind of overthinking is another thing that people struggle with. And I'm a believer that overthinking leads to burnout more than overposting does, because we overanalyze every aspect of what we post and we take it so personally when a post doesn't do well. And we assign so much of our own personal value, either as a business owner or even as an entire human being, to how many likes did this post get? How many views did it get? How many followers am I gaining? And when you focus on those things, it's very easy to get burnt out and dejected and overwhelmed. When instead I really preach finding joy in the process, which is kind of a bigger like woo-woo topic, but it's really just like picking out things in the process of content creation, or even in the broader process of posting and growing a business online, that do fill up your cup and that do bring you joy and that do reward you, or even things that exist outside of the context of social media that can fill up your cup, so that when you are creating the content that we all need to create in 2024, you're not pulling from an empty well, right? You're pouring from a cup that is already full. And I think that that will lead to much more sustainable results.
I'm glad you brought up this topic of overthinking things and overanalyzing and this desire for perfection, because I see that throughout almost everything that our clients are doing within their business, whether it's email marketing or their product development or whatever it might be. And there's a lot to be said for done is better than perfect, right? Like getting it out in the world, being visible, showing up, creating that relatability, like you said. You recently did a reel about scheduling posts on Instagram. And so You mentioned that we shouldn't be doing that within the Instagram app. Can you talk a little bit more about that here and what you do recommend instead of that?
Yeah. And this is a great topic. I'm glad that it's something we're covering. I think that if you want to schedule within the Instagram app, by all means, it's not going to penalize you. Like you're not, your content won't perform worse because you scheduled it, and your content especially won't perform worse because you scheduled it in Instagram. But from what I've seen and just my experience using different tools, the Instagram scheduler is very elementary and it's very limited in its capabilities. So it doesn't allow you to do a lot of things that other scheduling tools have. So for example, I use Metricool, M-E-T-R-I-C-O-O-L, Metricool, to schedule my posts. And they have features such as automatic first comments. So I can add a comment to my own post, maybe to create conversation or to add my hashtags or to add a disclaimer. I can select my cover. I can select the exact minute that I want the post to be shared. I can click on a few buttons and have it shared on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube Shorts all at the same time with either the same caption, or I can modify the caption slightly for each platform. There's just so many extra features that exist in these third-party tools. And there's no drawback to using them. There's no studies that have proven that if you use a third-party scheduling app, your posts will perform worse. So, and in addition to all of that, not only is using the Instagram scheduling tool kind of basic, it's also quite glitchy. And I know a lot of people run into issues where they'll schedule their post and it won't be posted, or they'll schedule their post and the caption will be gone, or they'll schedule their post. And I've had this happen to me so many times where I've pressed the button that says schedule, and then suddenly a little banner pops up at the top of the page that says posting, and that loading bar is like getting to full. And I'm like, I can see there's no way to cancel this, but I can see actively it is being posted at this exact moment, even though I tried to schedule it for 3 days from now. And so just those frustrations and those glitches, they're not worth it to me. So I prefer to use a third-party scheduling tool.
What about analytics and data for after things have posted? Does Metricool give you pretty good details as to what's working, what's not working?
Yeah, much better analytics than Instagram. And fortunately, I believe Metricool also pulls, yeah, they do. They pull the data and the analytics from even the posts that weren't posted in Metricool. So even if you have a post that you just posted in the spur of the moment, Metricool, and I believe most other, at least the pro level scheduling tools, will be able to get all of those data and all those insights for you. And it's crazy that, to say this, but they give you better insights on what's happening on Instagram than even the Instagram insights themselves.
You'd think we get the best data from Instagram themselves.
I know.
Talk to me about repurposing content. Like for a lot of folks, they've been on Instagram a really long time. They spent a lot of time creating their content, their videos. What do you think, or how do you feel about repurposed content? Are you okay? Do you think people should be reusing the same videos and posting them a year later, 6 months later?
75% of my posts are repurposed. Either they are directly reposted, so something that I've posted 4 months ago and I was like, hey, that did well. Maybe it got a lot of shares or it got a lot of comments. So it did well. I'm going to post it again directly, same caption, same video, same everything. Or I'm going to slightly like recreate it. Maybe I'm going to use the same script, but I'm going to just, maybe I filmed it, you know, 3 months ago and it was snowing and I was wearing a jacket and it was very clearly winter and I was in like a different setting, but now it's like the middle of, you know, July or August and it's summer and I'm wearing like shirts every day. I'm not going to post the snowy video. It'd be weird. So maybe I'll just use the same script, or I'm going to use the same caption and I'm just going to record it a second time, or I'm going to use the same video and I'm going to just change out the background audio. So truly 3 out of 4 of my posts are done in this style. And then I think that's really the ultimate hack, which is such a funny word that I'll use it because that's how most people can think of it. A hack to posting more is that's how I'm able to post 3 or 4 times a day on Instagram, is not because I'm creating that many posts, but just I've been doing this for a few years. And so it's very easy to be able to just pull from the past and post it again.
Okay. I have 2 follow-up questions to that. Mm-hmm. You're posting 3 or 4 a day. Is that what you recommend to clients and small businesses?
I recommend that they find what they can sustain, whatever that means for their specific season. And then the asterisk that I'll put on that is find what you can sustain, but then just don't stay there. Don't stay in what's comfortable. Challenge yourself to do a little bit more. So if you can sustain 3 a week, go for 4 a week. If you can sustain 4, go for 5 a week. And then the asterisk that I'll put on the asterisk is don't just try to challenge yourself to work harder. I don't believe in like the endless hamster wheel of hustle culture and just work harder, work harder. I believe that you should try to create more output without increasing your input. So maybe people are going to take away from this podcast is, hey, I post 3 a week and that's what I can sustain. But I recognize that those 3 that I'm posting are 3 new posts I'm making every week. So maybe now, because of this episode, you're going to be able to scale to 4 or 5 a week because you're just taking your posts from a few months ago and recycling them.
Yeah. My second follow-up question to what you said is, how are you maintaining your catalog of past content? What type of tools or organizational structure are you doing to see what you have to repost?
Yeah, it's primarily Metricool. I do have everything saved and backed up in 2 locations. So I have everything saved on both Dropbox and Google Drive. Everything is labeled as to when it was created, when it was posted, whether or not it has been posted. And then if there's like a specific angle that the post is taking, like maybe it's a promotional post or it's a post that's a share-worthy post, for example. And then I use Metricool to go back through my analytics and to track the posts that are doing the best in different categories. But I don't have this like robust system of, you know, this post was made on this date and it's been posted 17 times and on average it performs this well. Like, I again think a lot of times people will overthink. And so I hope it's encouraging that they hear even someone like me who's posting a ton and has all these different systems in place. It's not like I have this robust tracking system for all of my posts.
No, that's great. And does Metricool allow you to just repost from within their app or their platform?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, cool. I can basically just like go back to the date that it was posted, press duplicate, and then set it as, you know, some future date.
Easy enough. Easy enough. Yep. Cool. Okay. If you were to sit down with one of our listeners who is using Instagram, but feels like they're not getting a lot of traction on it, what kind of homework would you want to give them? What kind of quick wins would you want to share with them as you're talking to them?
So the first thing I would do is I would just go through their bio, because it's surprising to see how many people have their bio slash profile set up. I don't want to say incorrectly, but non-ideally. Like, it's not how I would recommend it. And the username is the thing that most people probably have down pat. It's probably their business name or maybe their personal name, which that's fine. The profile picture is the immediate place where we start running into issues, which the profile picture, people will use the family photo where there's like 5 people, or they'll use like the full body mirror selfie where we can't see your face, or they'll use a logo. But here's the thing, Katie, they'll use a logo that wasn't designed for a profile picture. And the profile picture is like so itty bitty, right? It's tiny. And so people use this logo that's supposed to be like on the side of a building. And then they wonder why people aren't clicking on their profile. Well, it's because your profile picture, no one can tell what it is. So either you yourself redesign the profile, the logo to fit a profile picture, or just hire some inexpensive designer because you already have the professional logo. Just hire someone to recreate this logo, but scale it down so that it will actually make sense as a profile picture. Then the biggest thing that people don't even realize that is a mistake is the bold text right below the profile picture. That's known as the Instagram name. And so when you're setting up your Instagram, it says username, Instagram name. And for Instagram name, most people are like, okay, well, my username is Brock11Johnson. My Instagram name is Brock Johnson. But that line is searchable. The Instagram name and the username are the only 2 lines that are 100% searchable. Anything you put on that line becomes a way that people can directly search for and find your account. And so if you just have your company name listed a second time, then the only way people can find you is if they are directly searching for your company name or your product name or your first and last name, which obviously, if people don't know who you are and they haven't discovered you yet, how are they going to know your name, your business name, your company name, whatever? And so if your username already has your first and last, or it already has your brand name or your business's title, then on that Instagram name line, that's where you can start to put some keywords and some phrases that help kind of describe your product or your business and thus make you more searchable. That way you are organically coming up in search results rather than having to hope people discover you through your posts.
I love that tip. I changed mine. I've actually experimented with mine a few different times because we teach people how to wholesale, but also some people are searching for wholesale. Some people are searching for product-based business owners. So, you know, having to experiment with that, I want to encourage our listeners to do the same. If you have keywords or a tagline, try that first, but also you really want to think about what your consumer is searching for and how you're describing yourself in that.
Yeah, exactly. And make sure that you spell check it before you press save, because I believe you can change it twice every 2 weeks. And I, at one point, tried to change mine to Instagram Growth Coach, and I spelled Instagram wrong. But because I was verified, that meant I couldn't change it for 14. I actually couldn't change it for 60 days. So for two months, I was stuck as an Instagame Growth Coach, and I received a lot of messages about the typo and a lot of confused people.
Oh, I bet. I bet. Yeah. Okay. What about the rest of your bio? Like, how many links or how much should we include? Like, what are your recommendations there?
Yeah. So 4 lines or less, no more than 4 lines. If you go more than 4 lines, Instagram will automatically truncate, cut it off. They'll do the dot, dot, dot more thing. And nobody's going to take the time to press dot, dot, dot more and read the rest of your bio. Don't mince words. Don't include fun facts. Don't include random acronyms. That's a big mistake that I see a lot of people making, is putting insider lingo in their bio, words that would only be understood by someone who's already following you, someone who's already been in your community for a few months, or even someone who's already like an expert in the field. So they know all these acronyms and words and lingo. Instead, the words you use and the phrases you put in your bio should make total crystal clear sense to your ideal follower. And then in terms of like what goes on each line, the first line is the most important. The first line is usually where we articulate, what does this business do? What is this account for? Who is this account serving? What is the like end goal or the problem that's going to be solved by this product or by this account? Second and third line are where you can get a little bit more flexible in terms of maybe your credibility or your background or your geographic location, if that matters, or how many years you've been doing this, or just any other sort of like differentiating factor that might make you or your business unique or stand out or credible. And then the fourth line, I usually recommend a call to action, usually something pointing at the link. So like 20% off, use code whatever. And then it's like an arrow, an emoji arrow pointing down to the link, just kind of something directing people's next steps. Or it could even be directing their next steps not regarding the link. So it could be like, watch my stories every day, or watch the start here highlight for more info, just to kind of direct people's next steps. And then in terms of the link itself, whether you want to have a single link or a link tree or, you know, a link menu or a stand store, whatever, I think it's going to depend on what's actively going on in your business. If you're actively in a launch or a sale or a promotion, then you just want one link, right? You want people to go directly to the landing page. You don't want, like, if you're trying to sell more cheeseburgers, you don't hand people a menu and hope they pick cheeseburger. You hand them a cheeseburger, right? You only have one thing on the menu. But if you're in a season where you're in between sales, or you don't really care like which product people want, or you just want to have that menu so you can show off all of your different offers, that's when you would use some sort of link menu option for that link in bio.
Awesome. Awesome. Brock, this has been amazing. What's coming up next for you? Like, what are you working on that you want to tell our listeners about?
My main focus has been and will be the Insta Club Hub, which is like our Instagram membership. That's where we teach people basically the advanced strategies of everything that I talked about today, how to grow, how to monetize, how to scale, how to systematize, basically how to make more money on Instagram without spending any more time on Instagram. So that's my main focus, is just serving people in that community.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I do want to go one more question for you on the monetization. Yeah. I know you're using ManyChat. I'm using ManyChat. Are you finding that that's been a huge monetization tool for people? And is that an opportunity that product-based business owners should and could be using?
1000%. If anyone listening is not using ManyChat, then they're being silly and they're wasting their own time. There's nothing necessarily wrong with the link in bio. Like, you can have a link in your bio. The issue comes where you go to promote the link in bio, because, you know, I know you said last question, so I'll try to make this fast. But if you make a post, Katie, and you're like, go click the link in my bio for this product, my option as the viewer of the post is one of two things. I can either say, I'm not interested right now, and keep scrolling. That's always going to be an option. Like, regardless of what your ad is, that's always an option. Option B is someone is interested. And if someone is interested, here's the problem. They're not going to engage with the post because you told them not to. So they're not going to comment, like, save, share, anything. They're going to literally abandon the post, go to your profile, then they have to find your link in bio. And then if you have like a link menu with multiple options, you have to hope that they find the right link from said menu. Let's say even all of that goes well, you still have to cross your fingers that the sale goes through, that the website loads properly, that the discount code works, all of that. And if it doesn't, you're out of luck, because you have no idea who clicked, right? Instagram doesn't show us who clicked. They just show us the number of people. So it'll say 17 people clicked on your link yesterday. Cool. I have no idea who those 17 people are. I have no idea if they were able to complete purchase. I can't follow up. And as my good friend Sally Sparks Cousin says, the fortune is in the follow-up. And so DM automation through ManyChat, which is the company that provides DM automation, or at least the biggest company that provides DM automation, instead of saying, go click the link in my bio, you can say, comment the word code, and I will send you a 20% off discount code. Now, the initial step is, if someone is engaged and interested, to engage, right? They're going to comment on the post, which then makes the algorithms think, oh, this is a good post. Let's show it to more people. So then more comments, then they show it to more people. And that turns into a cycle where all of a sudden your selling sales-related posts go from being your worst post to being your best post. And then you, as the business owner, you're immediately, instantly, automatically delivering the link that they wanted right into their DM inbox. So they don't have to go hunting for it. It's right there, message to them. And you can see who did. Like, you can see who got the message. You can see if they had issues. You can follow up. You can set it up on the back end so that if they didn't purchase, you have a message sent a couple hours later asking if like they had technical problems or whatever. It's really just such a difference maker in terms of views, engagement, and sales. So I think every single business owner should be using direct message automation.
I agree with you. I also, to your point about the customer journey behind not using something like ManyChat, it is so many hoops to ask people to jump through. And I like what you said about, you know, we can streamline that process and get people information faster that they want, which will hopefully convert them into a sale. But also, to your point, the follow-up, the money is in the follow-up. And so having that conversation already started, whether it's a bot following up or whether it's us hopping in Instagram DMs and leaving a voice memo or saying, hey, I saw you were interested in this. Did you need any more help? I feel like we can make it a much more personable experience by using these automations. And I think one of people's fears of using these automations is that it takes away the human connection. But I would argue that it enhances the human connection. Would you agree?
I agree. I absolutely wholeheartedly agree. Couldn't have said it better.
Well, thank you. Brock, this is awesome. Thank you for all the tips and strategies that you provided for us today. I love what you're doing online. And thank you for all the support you're providing for small business owners. Where can people find you online and follow you on Instagram?
Yeah, Brock11Johnson is my handle across all platforms. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Threads, all those platforms. That's where you can find me, Brock11Johnson. And I'd love to get connected.
Fantastic. Thanks again, Brock.
Thank you.
Such a fun conversation with Brock. Thank you, Brock, for joining me today. If you want to learn more from Brock, follow him on Instagram where he shares a lot of great ideas and strategies and insights. Plus, it's just fun to watch him in his element. Or check out his coaching programs if you want to dive deeper into what he's teaching. His links and the links for the tools we talked about today, Metricool and ManyChat, are linked in the show notes so that you can easily find them. So just head there if you're looking for those. And if you found today's episode helpful, please share it with a friend. If you share it on Instagram, be sure to tag Brock and I, and I'll do my best to reshare it. Also, if you learned something new today, please leave us a 5-star rating and write a review at ratethispodcast.com/PTP for proof to product. Again, that's ratethispodcast.com/PTP. Your reviews help our show gain more visibility and tell the podcast feeds to share it with other people who are similar to you. And that means more eyes on the show, which means that we can then bring in more high quality guests and partners who want to help you grow your product-based business. So again, leave that 5-star rating and review at ratethispodcast.com/PTP for proof to product. Thanks so much for listening until the end today. I'll be back next week with a new episode.